soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Blessings in oneness. Today, this morning, I have been instructed to talk about opening consciousness. Opening your consciousness. And hopefully, as we move along, you will see the need for this, the reason for this. Yesterday, I read an email, a post on the Mystical Principles list that I felt was just wonderful. Wonderful because it shows where this person is no longer seeking things, but seeking the kingdom. And of course, we know that when you seek the kingdom, all of these things are added onto you. But this person shows their progress, how far they've come. And so I wanted to start by reading it because it's just wonderful. And the question that it poses will hopefully be answered today. And I believe, well, I know that it is a question that many of us are pondering. So let's get started by reading this post. It says, "The other morning I was reading Joel Goldsmith, and I had this realization that I thought was a big step in understanding for me." Trust me, this is a big step in understanding for anyone. "I was thinking about how the infinite invisible is a life force, always life-enhancing, always a cause. And of course, anything we perceive with the physical senses is an effect. Either a life-enhancing effect, which is in alignment with cause, or a non-life-enhancing effect, or out of alignment. I am still experiencing both types of effects, so I have been trying to figure where I am going wrong. And then it came to me that it has to do with identity. If I am identifying myself with my personal sense of self, then I am experiencing non-life-enhancing effects or limitation. If, on the other hand, I identify myself with the impersonal life force or cause, the infinite invisible, then I will experience life-enhancing effects. I find it very difficult to not identify with the personal sense of self. I think this is where the world hypnotism has its strongest hold. I cannot look in the mirror and say, that image staring back at me has nothing to do with me. The difficulties come in when I am worrying about my house or my bills or my husband or my children or my job or my responsibilities or my body. These things all feel like mine from a separate point of reference in my limited conscious awareness. These are the things I take personal. These are the things that I get attached to as far as the outcome goes. These are the things that have the potential to cause me to become upset, or they can be an upsetting experience because I take them so personally. Yet clearly Joel tells us that the infinite invisible is impersonal. So this type of identification must be an error. This is beautiful. This is great. This is a person arriving at the point where they see clearly that right identification is the answer and wrong identification is the problem. They are seeing that Paul's statement, "I die daily," is something that they are going to have to do. Yet they are saying that they have a struggle with that. And we all do. When we first face this, and sometimes a little while into it, well, we're not quite sure how to do this. And this person says, from an intellectual point of view, I can recognize that this is the hypnotism, that I am identifying with the personal sense of self instead of identifying with the universal, impersonal life force itself. From an emotional point of view, I still find myself often being caught up in the hypnotic, strong, held belief. I can recognize the problem, but still find it difficult to break free from the hypnotic stronghold, erroneous identification with the false sense of self, with the illusory self. So I think that if and when I can break free from this identification with the personal self, then I will experience the effect of nothing but life-enhancing experiences, or heaven on earth. And identification with the universal life force, which is never anything but for the enhancement of life. What a stubborn illusion the personal sense of self is, don't you think? At least now I think I know what the problem is. I've made a good first step in the right direction. I still struggle with letting go of the personal sense of self and all the desired outcomes of material people, places, and things that this personal sense of self identifies its illusory self with. Now, this is beautiful. I mean, this is just wonderful. Because it shows that this person is advancing on the path. And as we said, no longer looking for improved health or improved relationships or improved finances, but looking to find out how to die to a personal sense of self and awaken to right identification with the I that I am. And this person, like Joel, if you remember reading The Infinite Way in the back of the book, The Wisdoms, there's a line in there that says, I die hard. Or I dies hard. Meaning, the personal sense of self dies hard. And so, you see, Joel struggled with it, I struggled with it, and this person, and perhaps many of you, is struggling with this. And so today we're going to take up the answer to the question, what will make this struggle cease? And the answer is really three words. Open your consciousness. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, because you see, a personal sense of self cannot pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. No, it's going to take a transcendental presence. This is what transforms you. Be ye renewed, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is not something a person can do themselves. However, we can create the possibility of illumination within ourselves. We can create an opening through which this transcendental presence can illumine and uplift us, lift us up over a personal sense of self. And we do that by opening our consciousness. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Open your consciousness. The very first Infinite Way book that we should all have read by now is called Practicing the Presence. And in Chapter 4, The Infinite Nature of Individual Being, we are given a great, we're given concrete direction in how to open our consciousness. So let's look at a part of this. There is an old, old story about a great spiritual teacher who knocked at the gates of heaven for admission into paradise. And is that not what we're doing when we're struggling, when we have reached the place where we know right identification is the answer, but we can't quite open that door? And that's what this story is about. Who knocked at the gates of heaven for admission into paradise. After some time, God came to the door and inquired, "Who is there? Who knocks?" To this query came the confident response, "It is I." "Sorry, very sorry. There is no room in heaven. Go away. You will have to come back some other time." The good man, surprised at the rebuff, went away puzzled. After several years spent in meditating and pondering over this strange reception, he returned and knocked again at the gate. He was met with the same question and gave a similar response. Once again, he was told that there was no room in heaven. It was completely filled at that time. In the years that passed, the teacher went deeper and deeper within himself, meditating and pondering. After a long period of time had elapsed, he knocked at the gates of heaven for the third time. Again God asked, "Who is there?" This time his answer was, "Thou art." And the gates opened wide as God said, "Come in. There never was room for me and thee." There is not God and you or I. There is only God expressed, manifested as individual being. There is only one life, the Father's. We are outside of heaven with no hope of ever gaining entrance to it as long as we believe that we have a self apart from God, a being separate and independent of God. And so right here in the very first book that he suggested we read, very plainly, he tells us we are outside of heaven with no hope of gaining admission as long as we believe we have a self apart from God. All through the ages, duality has separated us from our good. But it is a sense of duality, not duality, because there is no duality. The secret of life is oneness, and oneness is not something you bring about. Oneness is a state of being. And so, in this few short paragraphs, particularly this last one, here is the clue. We are suffering from a sense of duality, but there is no duality. Oneness is not something you bring about. Oneness is a state of being. And so, if we are struggling with a false sense of self that we cannot overcome, here, plainly, we are told there is no such self. We are struggling with something that does not exist. We are struggling with a sense of self, not a self. And so, we're working on the problem. And the answer is not in the problem. The answer is in the answer. Listen. The answer is in opening consciousness, experiencing the one self, the spiritual self, the I. And in the experience of that self, we gain the conscious awareness of it. And as it begins to live us, we begin to have a sense of another self, a spiritual self, an infinite self. This awareness, this experience, when our consciousness is open, and we receive this awareness of the one self, this awareness is what dissolves the false sense of self. You do not dissolve it. It is this awareness, this inner experience that dissolves it. And so your job, your task is to open consciousness. Here he says, there is no such thing as God and man, any more than there is an outside and an inside to a tumbler. The outside and the inside are one. But this can't be a theory or a thought. This has got to be an actual experience. God is our invisible self. We are the externalized form or expression of that God. And so you see, we must open consciousness in order to have the experience of God, our invisible self, externalizing or expressing itself as our individuality. You see, we must come into the experience of this. So, he says, the degree of our demonstration is the degree of our awareness of this relationship. If a person believes that he has a quality, nature, or characteristic of his own or of her own, he has set up a sense of limitation which separates him from the infinity, or you might say which separates him from experiencing his infinite self. As long as you feel that you have a quality or a characteristic of your own, good or bad, then you are setting up a sense of limitation which separates you from the experience or the demonstration of your infinite self. When, however, he sets aside the belief that he has qualities, activities, or characteristics of his own, and realizes that it is God itself, his inner self, that is appearing outwardly, and that it is this inner self that has and possesses all the qualities, activities, and characteristics of his being, in that moment he has begun to die daily. This is the meaning of Paul's statement, I die daily. We must die to every suggestion that we are or have something of ourselves separate and apart from God. We must die to the belief of health, just as we must die to the belief of disease. Spiritually, there is no disease, and there is no health, because we are or have nothing of our own. So to suffer from disease or enjoy good health is to have something of our own. God has neither health nor disease. God is spirit, and so are you. But to experience your spirit self, your spiritual self, you must open consciousness. God is spirit, and all that we can possibly have is the spirit of God. We rise above the pairs of opposites, health and disease. We rise above a personal sense of self, as we realize that there is no self apart from God. The only thing that we can possess is what God possesses. God's self is the only self, neither rich nor poor, neither sick nor well, neither young nor old, and neither live nor dead. It, yourself, is a state of immortality, eternal being, unchanging, but nevertheless infinite in its forms and appearances. To acknowledge no self apart from God is the meaning of the Master's command to deny oneself. We should deny that we of ourselves have any qualities, characteristics, strength, health, wealth, wisdom, glory, or potentialities. It is our inner self, God, which appears outwardly as you or as me. The nature of our existence is immortality, eternality, and infinity. And so we can see that even in the very first book, Practicing the Presence, we were told that this false sense of self is not put away or transcended or dissolved by anything we can do. Because then it would be the false sense of self destroying the false sense of self. And of course that cannot be done. It is going to take opening your consciousness. And when your consciousness is open, receiving the baptism of your spiritual self. And in this baptism, in this experience of your infinite self, that experience alone dissolves the false sense of self. You have the experience of another self living itself as you. And the false sense of self dissolves without any effort on your part. The answer is not in the problem. And so we are going to stop working on trying to eliminate a false sense of self. The answer is in the answer, which is our true identity and our right identification. And this we can do in meditation by opening consciousness. And this we can do throughout the day and night by, again, opening consciousness. The secret is going to be in opening consciousness so that we may have this inner experience. Now, the other day, a few days ago, there was another excellent post on the Mystical Principles list. And it was a quote from The World is New by Joe Goldsmith. And this fits right in here. It's short, so let's look at it. He says, "Body is one of the infinite forms as which God, the divine substance and essence of the universe, is appearing. The body cannot decay or decompose unless we accept the universal belief that we have a material body which functions in time or space." I love to read these sentences backwards, because this one is telling me that that the belief that we have a material body which functions in time or space is a universal belief. If you believe you have a material body which functions in time or space, then you are entertaining the universal belief. Because you don't. The sentence before this says that the only body you have is the divine substance appearing. And so, our true identity our spiritual self is the substance which is forming itself as our individual experience. But not being aware of this, it is appearing to us as a material body, which functions in time and space. He says, God is the essence and substance of you and of me as flesh and blood and bone. The flesh, the blood, and the bone are only our interpretation of the divine spirit appearing as all its forms. And so, the divine spirit appearing as all its forms, we reinterpret as flesh and blood and bone. But it is still spirit. God is spirit. This is what Christ told us. And so spirit, living itself, as you, you are spirit. But to your false sense of self, spirit appears as flesh and blood and bone. There is no such thing as God and your body and my body. It is God appearing as body. You see, there is no such thing as duality, we just read. There is no such thing as a false sense of self. There is no such thing as your body. It is God, only it is God appearing to your senses as body, as individual personal life, as duality, as you here and God somewhere else. The truth is, it is the same substance and spirit of which our consciousness is made, only in another one of its infinite forms and varieties. And so, what you are seeing as a personal sense of self, or as body, isn't there. What is there is God, the same substance and spirit of which consciousness is made, only appearing to you as a personal sense of self. So, how are you going to step out of what the personal sense of self is showing you? You can't. You can't. But you can open your consciousness, and that substance, that spirit of which your consciousness is made, can reveal itself to you. And in the revealing, the appearance dissolves. It's not you doing it. It's you resting and becoming aware of what's revealed to you. It's you resting back, opening your consciousness, and receiving revelations from your spiritual self. Now let's look at this from another angle. Look at the first chapter in The Infinite Way called Putting on Immortality. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now that's that spiritual substance. And the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh, but it still is the Word. By being made flesh, it does not change its nature, character, or substance. Cause becomes visible as effect, but the essence or substance is still the Word, spirit, or consciousness. In this wise do we understand that there is not a spiritual universe and a material world. There is not a spiritual being and a physical self, a material self. But rather that what appears as our world is the Word made flesh, spirit made visible,
or consciousness expressed as idea. And so the change, he's going to tell us in a minute, is within yourself. It's not something you do out here. You do not change and get rid of a material self. There isn't any. No, you turn within yourself, you open consciousness until you have the inner awareness that this is spirit expressed and there is no second self. All the error that has existed down the ages is founded on the theory or belief of two worlds or two selves. One, the heavenly kingdom or spiritual life, and the other a material world or mortal existence, each separate from the other. In spite of this sense of two worlds, men have always attempted to bring harmony into the discords of human existence through an attempt by prayer to contact this other world or spiritual realm, and to bring spirit or God to act upon the so-called material existence. Now that's the error right there. Trying to get God somehow to work in our personal life. There is no personal life. It is a correction in your vision, in your awareness, that needs to take place. And this will take place when you open your consciousness. Let us begin with the understanding that our world is not an erroneous one, but rather, the universe in which we live is the realm of reality. You're already living in reality. You're already living in your true identity. But you are entertaining a false concept about it. And so, the universe in which we live is the realm of reality about which we entertain a false concept. The false concept is the glass darkly. The work of bringing health and harmony into our experience is not getting rid of a false sense of self, or even changing a mortal material universe. No, the work, the real work, is correcting the finite concept of our existence, or opening consciousness to receive the truth of being as an awareness. This is why at the end of the book, in the Wisdoms, Joel tells us, your spiritual life will begin in earnest when you come to see that the issues of life, all of them, must be met within your consciousness. And so we must open our consciousness to receive truth from within. It is not the truth we read or discuss or post about, but the truth we receive in consciousness that transforms us. It is the actual experience of living in Christ and experiencing Christ living in us that brings us to the awareness that this is our true identity. And the false identity melts away. As we said before, it's like the coming of dawn. Things get lighter and lighter and the whole world becomes illumined. This is the same for your consciousness. As you experience Christ living itself, as you, the false sense of self dissolves. A little bit here, a little bit there. More and more, it is dissolved. Because it's not an actual identity. It's not a thing or a person. It is really an awareness. And it is replaced by awareness of that which is. And the awareness of that which is does the replacing. You are simply a beholder, a witness, an observer. And that is one of the key words to opening your consciousness. That is why Joel tells us again and again and again to develop the attitude of a beholder. And we're going to talk about that if I can finish this last bit of reading here. Now, under Beyond Words and Thoughts, God, Man, and Universe, we are told, do you see why people have difficulty in doing healing work? Although they, of course, recognize the incorporeality of God, they recognize that God is spirit, they do not recognize the incorporeality of man. And consequently, they deal with a structural man who has bones, a brain, liver, heart, and lungs. Consciously or unconsciously, then, when they give a treatment, they are helping to bring down, they are hoping to bring down the fever, remove the lump, or set the bone, and thereby they are blocking the entire treatment. Why? Well, we just were told. They are trying to bring spirit, incorporeal spirit, incorporeal spiritual self, to work on and in a material personal self. A material personal sense of existence, a material personal life, a material world. And you can't do it. You are trying to bring God to work on the illusion. And the illusion, remember, is not out there. It's a personal sense entertained in the mind. And so you're trying to get God to fix, improve, or heal a personal self entertained in your mind. All the time, God is saying, wait a minute, wait, wait, if you will just be still, I will reveal there is no such self. The only self that is the I that I am. And so this is a complete reversal of what we've been trying to do, channel or funnel God into a personal life. No, we are learning that we have but to open consciousness. And so he says, they are setting up a barrier between God and man because incorporeal God cannot give birth to a corporeal man, only to incorporeal man. And so this should be a clue that God is the substance of your incorporeal self. Incorporeal man has no physical structure, and therefore in their meditation, prayer, and treatment, those of us on the mystical path must remove from thought the image man, the corporeal man, the man who has physicality, because that man is not the man of God's creating. For this reason, prayer, which really is communion between God and man, that is the union of God and man, can never, ever take place between incorporeal God and corporeal man. If I look out at a group of persons with my eyes, I can be aware only of corporeal man. Remembering what we read a few moments ago, God is the substance appearing as man or woman. The man or woman that's appearing is what we are calling a false sense of self. Because when we see with eyes that can see, we see, well, what did he say? The word made flesh is still the word. Spiritual substance is still spiritual substance. And so he says, the natural part of me, the five physical senses, can only be aware of the five physical senses of you. If I am limited to that consciousness, however, I have no right to be a practitioner or teacher, and I have no right to claim to have attained any degree of the mystical consciousness. And so we see, he is telling us, we must open our consciousness to receive our true identity. All right, so let's see if we can put this into perspective. The wonderful email that we started with is a person that is struggling with a false sense of self, knows that it must be transcended, but is struggling because of the hypnotism, struggling with the with being pulled into and operating from a personal sense of self. By what we have just read and discussed, we see now that that person with the struggle is the very false sense of self. That's why there's a struggle. The answer is going to be in opening our consciousness. Opening your consciousness. Because when your consciousness is open and you have ceased to struggle, when you have found that moment of rest, the true identity, the one spiritual self, the I self, comes forward and moves into and as your experience. And as you have an awareness of this movement, of this expressing, of spiritual substance moving in your consciousness, it will appear to you as improved relationships, as improved supply, as improved health, as improved world. But you will no longer be fooled by what it is appearing as, and you will know it is still the invisible spiritual substance that you are. The experience of this, the inner awareness of this, is what dissolves the false self that you have been entertaining. When you have the experience of your true self, the one self, the only self, the invisible spiritual self, this experience melts away any other false awareness that you are entertaining. And it does it by itself. It doesn't need any help from you. What it does need is an invitation from you. This is your part in the work. And so how do we open our consciousness in order that we may have this experience? All issues of life must be met in consciousness and met by a spiritual experience. Well, we know by now that reading about truth and discussing truth, pondering truth, is not the same as experiencing truth. It's not the same as having an actual experience of your invisible infinite self. Something else is needed. And we know by now that that something else is meditation. And so we must discipline ourselves to have several periods of meditation each day. Now, it's not necessary and also not likely that you are going to have one continuous two-hour meditation in which you experience nothing but your true identity. That is very unlikely, although it can happen. Usually, what we will experience are 5 minutes here, 2 minutes there, 1 minute there, and 20 or 30 of these periods a day. But I can tell you with absolute authority and certainty that the more minutes a day you spend in the experience of this invisible spiritual self, the more of any false identification is lifted and melted away. So it really is imperative that we find, and you find, and I find, and rearrange my life so that I can have these several periods a day. We start in the morning. If possible, if we can, we start before we even get out of bed, bringing to conscious remembrance some truth that leads us to a period of rest. If we can't remember some truth, it's perfectly fine to ask. I started my day I think it was yesterday. Before I got out of bed, I said, Father. Before I got out of bed, my mind immediately started with, I need to do this and do that, and going down the list. You know how it does. And I jumped in and said, no, not now. This is a mental image, or perhaps a lot of mental images. It's the universal world thoughts racing around. It's universal nothingness. It's impersonal. It doesn't belong to me or anyone else. It's impersonal nothingness. Now, Father, fulfill thyself. This day, reveal thyself. Give me a spiritual awareness of thy presence, the only presence, of thyself, the only self. Let me be aware, consciously aware, of your spirit functioning this day, where I am and omnipresent. I will be still and I will listen. I ask for spiritual awareness of infinite spiritual substance, Christ living itself. Let Christ live in me, through me, and as me. And I rest. And of course, the mind wanted to jump in again. Are we done with meditation? And of course, I had to say again, be still. Be still. You are impersonal nothingness. You have no father. Call no man on earth your father. One is your father, which is in heaven. And God the Father and God the Son are one. God the Father is individualized as the Son. And so now let me be still. Father, fulfill thyself. Express thyself. Reveal thyself. Show me your will this day. I surrender. I step aside. Let me be the instrument for your self, the only self, the real self that I am. And I am still and listening. Father, fulfill thyself. And then I got up and I went about my business, and throughout the day yesterday, I had several spiritual experiences. My awareness was of the spiritual identity moving through my consciousness. And I saw it move through me. And I saw it calm a troubled child. And I saw it appear as a parking space. And I saw it appear as harmony in human relationships. And I saw it appear as beautiful work on our house by a workman. These were all the ways that that invisible spiritual self, myself, yourself, the only self, was appearing to the senses. But I was aware at the same time that it was still the invisible spiritual self. God individualized, Christ, Spirit. And so I had the internal awareness of Spirit yesterday throughout my day. Now, the second way, other than a formal sitting down and meditating, that we are to open our consciousness is several times during the day we are to blink our eyes and rest, and within ourselves open our consciousness and invite the Spirit to flow. I may be standing in the line at Walmart looking at the checkout person who is running our items through the scanner and notice their name tag. Perhaps it says Peggy. And as a reminder to myself, I say to this person, "Thank you, Peggy. You're doing a great job." And when the person looks up, I turn within myself, I blink my eyes, and I say, "Father, Thy Spirit is. Thy presence is." And this does something wonderful for me and for Peggy. And sometimes I'm not even aware of the depth that it goes to. There may be somebody just looking on from another direction that I'm not even aware of that catches something. But in this way, I am opening my consciousness. I may drive down the road on the way home and see another car pass. Look at the driver behind the wheel and realize Spirit is living itself. I don't care what the senses are showing me. Spirit, fulfill thyself, thy presence, thy love, thy peace, and rest. More and more and more, our work is becoming very simple. Very, very simple. Our work is to surrender, to move, pull back into our consciousness, and surrender. Create an opening. Open our consciousness and be receptive to the invisible spiritual self. And now, let me say here, it is the experience, catching the awareness of that self and its movement, that is the healing agency. And now we understand healing to mean really dissolving and revealing. Yes. There's no such thing as healing, because you cannot pull God into a false sense of self. But there is dissolving and revealing. And so now we understand that this spiritual self dissolves, well, when we are aware of a spiritual sense of self, when we are aware of spiritual identity, it at the same time is dissolving any false sense of identity, and it at the same time is revealing itself. It appears as improvement, but it's not really. It's just that spirit revealing it really is omnipresent, really is omniscient, it really is omnipotent. And so, our job is so simple now. We do not need to know a lot of deep truths. Now we're past that stage where we need a lot of intellectual understanding. The person who wrote this email that we started with could not have asked the question, could not have made the observation, if they weren't already past all that intellectual knowing. Now this person, and you and I, we all know that that's not our job anymore. We do not have to learn the letter of truth. We have passed that. Now we are at that stage where we must experience the spirit itself. And so it does not matter what label you give it. It makes no difference whatsoever. You know, when I was teaching those classes in California, I was really surprised after the class that someone came up to me, or two people came up to me, I think, and said that they were having difficulty with the word Christ. One of these people was a Jewish heritage, and I guess they were, when I said the word Christ, they were hearing Jesus. Well, I do not mean that, and haven't in a long, 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 long time. To me, Christ is God individualized. The infinite invisible experience is Christ. But to this person, Christ meant Jesus. And so what I am bringing this up for is to tell you that it does not matter what word you give it. The word is not important, so long as you know that you are surrendering, opening your consciousness to receive it. And so if you are comfortable saying Christ, if you are comfortable saying God, if you are comfortable with the word spirit, if you are comfortable with the word it, if you are comfortable with the word is, if you are comfortable with the word I, whatever you are comfortable with, that's perfectly fine. Use what you are comfortable with. And it changes also from day to day. Yesterday, I was comfortable with spirit, reveal yourself. And that was enough throughout the day. Or spirit, fulfill thyself. Another day, I may use Christ liveth in me. Christ, fulfill thyself. Christ, pour out a blessing. Another day, I may say, Father, fulfill thyself. There's only one Father, and I and the Father are one. And the Father is that presence pouring forth. Another day, I may just rest in I. I am the way. Let me feed you. As I am still and receptive, I fulfill thyself. Another day it may be is-ing. And I rest, and I behold is living itself, as itself, everywhere. I behold consciousness, the invisible, the infinite invisible, living itself. You see, all these words are interchangeable. They're only used for a moment to pull myself within consciousness and open consciousness to receive the actual experience of is, of I, of spirit, of Christ. This is all the same thing. These are just many names for one I. And so what's important is the awareness of that I, that is, that I am moving And so, our job is so simple. Throughout the day, throughout the night, in periods of meditation, in moments of blinking the eyes, doing what Joel suggested. Going within our consciousness and opening it to receive the awareness of spiritual identity. And as we entertain that awareness, as we are spiritually aware of it, without any effort on our part, simply by resting, the mental image self is dissolved. And this is the whole secret to the answer to I'm having difficulty stepping out of the illusory sense of self. You don't step out of it. You set it down. You come within. You open consciousness. You invite spirit to reveal itself. You invite spiritual identity to reveal itself. You surrender. Surrender now. You are now to be an open consciousness through which Christ can live. Lift your vision higher than any personal sense of self or any improvement in a personal life. It's not yours. The very belief that it is your life is what's the barrier, according to Joel, according to Bill. No, you have no life. Your vision should be higher now. Christ, fulfill thyself, pour out a blessing, reveal thyself, make me consciously aware of thy presence living itself, as me, through me. Make me consciously aware, give me the spiritual discernment to be aware of thy presence this day. Father, fulfill thyself, and rest, rest. We had such a beautiful demonstration of this with that person who was fighting fires and asked for help. This was so beautiful. This is this whole week's talk in concrete demonstration. This person was fighting fires and came to the realization all issues must be met within, in consciousness. Stopped fighting the fires, simply rested, allowed the consciousness that is the Spirit of the Living God, Christ itself, to reveal itself. And in the resting, it, spiritual identity, revealed itself, and the flames and the fires disappeared. Harmony was restored, and a peaceful rain began falling. Oh, it was so beautiful. That's all I'm saying. Do the same. The process is always the same. It does not change. It's time to set aside much learning and look for the simple process itself. That of surrendering, opening consciousness, and receiving the spiritual awareness as identity reveals itself. Then this other false mental image dissolves, and more spiritual Christ identity lives itself as itself, omnipresent. Open your consciousness, for the kingdom of heaven is within you. And the kingdom of heaven, your spiritual identity, will reveal itself without any effort on your part, only in a moment of rest. This is what grace is. Spirit, spiritual identity, revealing itself for free, out of love. This is really love revealing itself. blessings in oneness.